I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show. He's also paying off his Hooters bet. Again, if you have never watched the show, apologies. Apologies.
But pop on over to YouTube or Twitch.
If today's the first time you've watched and you're saying, what? This is how the show normally goes. He's paying off a bet. He's got the crop top on from the Hooters outfit and unfortunately also the very, very short shorts. And thank goodness he wore compression shorts today. If you do, I guess, want to see that, you can go to YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and watch that there. Some of you have sent in screenshots and still shots of that. So, yeah, he's paying off his bet, man. He's paying off his bet, and I appreciate that. And that's the only part.
And that's the end of the sentence?
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
Someone said on the text line, Drew looks too comfortable. They said, Drew, you look too comfortable in the Hooters outfit. They want to know if you practiced wearing it. And did you take a selfie in the mirror last night?
I did not take any selfies, but I did try on the Hooters outfit to make sure that I, to just see how it looked. And yeah,
You feel pretty comfortable. They said you are seemingly very comfortable wearing it.
Sometimes people try to display overconfidence.
Well, I will say this. The short shorts from running cross country, normal. Normal thing running. The running shorts.
Normal.
That's fine. Yeah. With the compression shorts.
Mm-hmm.
The crop top, a little snug. But yeah, I'm used to wearing tank tops. Or obviously, as people know, I'm used to running, you know, and exercising without a shirt, I guess.
I'm just so glad it's not me. That's all I can say. I'm glad it's not you. I'm glad it's not me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad.
It'd be even worse.
I was struggling after trying it on, I couldn't. It took me about 5 minutes to take it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. I'm sure Josh Briscoe's loving this conversation.
Yeah, let's welcome in Josh Briscoe, pre- and post-game host for the Chiefs Radio Network. Briscoe, I'm guessing you've never worn a crop top in your life.
No, I can't say that I have. Although, look, I mean, Drew's a fit guy. I think that this is not a bet that I would have waded into personally because I know my limits. I've worn a lot of strange things. I am not in any way above a costume or anything like that. But this one in particular would really latch onto my insecurities, I think.
I think people should do more bets on air, though. The other two shows should get involved in this, too. I want to see other people in the station embarrassed besides me, Alex, and Drew.
Yeah, as they should be. And in fact, not only do I agree with that point, Cody, I will say I need the right of refusal, but I'm willing to put myself into some of these realms.
Okay.
If that's what it takes to get Carrington or Rob into the line of fire, we get Fesco or Dusty into the line of fire, I think that would be good for everybody. So yeah, I'll see what I can do. Let me know if there's anything that I need to do to make this a more pro on-air bet and embarrassment station.
I think this is more than fair. We'll stay away from physical harm. Briscoe and I once fired ping pong balls
physical
at somebody.
Harm, geez.
And I feel still bad for that moment.
I don't think you should. I think sometimes, look, you can't make an omelet or radio history without breaking a few eggs or ping pong balls. And so I think you just got to accept that that's a part of your legacy, and how you deal with that throughout the rest of your life is between you and a higher power.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's talk about the Chiefs at least a little bit. Let's start with the Rashee Rice end of things, and let's set the allegations aside because really all we have right now is the one Instagram post. We don't have any police reports. We don't have much to go on outside of that. Do you view it the way we do, which is though, even with this just being out there, this feels like it signifies the Rashee Rice at maximum has till the end of his deal next season to be a Chief, which means wide receiver for us and tight end and running back all become far more of a need, knowing that you don't have anybody long-term at wide receiver that you know is going to be a producer.
I mean, even as of like 5 days ago, I think I would have probably agreed with that. The Rashee Rice thing was going to be a conversation this year, I think, of like, so, and really, again, let's go back to before this season began. the Rashee Rice future conversation was an interesting one because you start to get in that space of, well, he's had his off the field stuff and maybe he can be like a true number one wide receiver. If he can kind of take the baton from Travis Kelce this year, maybe you try to get a deal done with him early on to make him be that bridge into the next era of this Chiefs offense. Just with how this season went, I was kind of, I don't know, stepping back from that a little bit because I just don't think we saw enough from him this year as a football player. I don't think we saw enough from him this year to be confident that was going to be the next phase, the next number one weapon for Patrick Mahomes, even though that was the hope coming into this year. Now, like you said, we'll just see what ends up coming up over the next few weeks. I assume that there will be more information as we go, but you can't be suspended for the first six games of this season and have the entire well-covered wreck and everything, and then feel like you are a steady force. I mean, you know exactly who this guy is. So it's just more uncertainty and more unknowns around Rashee Rice, which is something on a variety of levels he couldn't afford to have more of.
Does the potential outcome, whatever that is for Rashee Rice, one way or the other, does that change how you would proceed with Travis Kelce? Let's say he does decide he wants to play football in 2026. You know, I was hesitant on the financial and not hesitant for Travis Kelce to come back, but I said I'm a little more critical of what that dollar amount needs to look like. If Rice is not around, I said, well, then I don't care what the dollar amount is for Travis Kelce. I just got to get him back.
So here's the thing, is I do agree with that, and man, what an unfortunate place to be if that is kind of one of the motivating factors to making that work again, because the reason that I think another year of Travis Kelce makes sense for everybody, for Kelce and for the team and for the long-term future, not just 2026, the reason that makes sense to me is because you're still trying to fulfill this version of the offense where Travis Kelce is your third weapon and not the guy that has to be relied on 90% of the snaps in games that matter and being the guy that Mahomes is always looking to. And obviously we don't know when we'll see Mahomes next year, but I do think that there is a very, very reasonable case to be made that Travis Kelce is worth the $10 or $12 million, if that is what it takes. This is the number I've heard people throwing around. If that's what it takes for him next year, I think he's worth that cost in a one-year deal to keep Travis Kelce in this offense for one more season. But I don't want to do that in the name of making him the number one weapon out of necessity. And so, I mean, look, I was excited about the prospects of Carnell Tate a week ago. I think that there is a need for more in this wide receiver room. That was true a week ago. The Chiefs have reportedly made the change at wide receivers coach. They're clearly not happy with how those wide receivers have developed over these last couple of years. You didn't see the step forward from Rice or from Worthy that you really hope to see this year. So I am baseline. This has been true since we started having a conversation about retirement. I am perfectly, perfectly happy to have Travis Kelce back next year. I think that the influence he has on the field and in the practice facility and throughout the week, I think that is a net positive that outweighs what his cap cost would be. But I really don't want the Chiefs to go in the next year saying, okay, one more year of just putting everything on Travis Kelce's shoulders, and then we'll build the future. You want to have that succession plan in place after I don't think they got the succession plan they wanted this year.
There is a non-zero chance, and I'm not saying that this is exactly how to go. This is a worst-case scenario. They'll be looking for their number one running back, number one tight end, and number one wide receiver in this offseason. Where do you think the offensive line is? This is something Alex and I seem to disagree with on the public. Do you think the offensive line, as it currently sits, is acceptable going into next year? Forget the depth part, just 1 through 5.
I don't know where you guys stand as opposed to the public, so I'm kind of excited to find out if we disagree. I don't have any questions about the offensive line 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with the offensive line 1 through 6. I think between Esipolé and Jalen Moore, you're going to get a starting caliber right tackle. And I guess there's a little bit of the unknown with Josh Simmons, but I think he seems like more of an unknown because of the injury at the end of the year. And you go, man, it's like he wasn't out there for like half the season. And that's obviously true. But you have the personal thing earlier in the year, and then at the end, you just had his wrist messed up. So I think perhaps the best silver lining of this season was Kingsley Suamataia at left guard. You got everything you wanted to see when he was available from Josh Simmons. Creed and Trey Smith. And then I think between Jalen Moore and Esipolé, I feel decent about that right tackle spot. And the fact that I feel great about 4 spots and good about the 5th, I really do think the offensive line is one place for the first time in a long time that you'll probably draft a depth piece in the 4th, 5th, 6th round and try to build your future a little bit out that way and see where they stand on Caliendo and Norzad and whatnot. But no, I do feel good about the O-line.
Josh Briscoe joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Yesterday we were going through the free agent pool of running backs. It's actually a really good group. You know, there's a variety of backs depending on how aggressive you want to get with that position. Because of that, do you feel like free agency is the best path to solve this running back room? And maybe the answer is both, but it feels like you can address running back at a cheaper cost versus spending high-end draft capital because we know a free agent defensive end is going to cost way more.
Yep, I think that's absolutely right. That is where I'm coming at here. And I think if you have a chance to get an impactful pass rusher, impactful defensive lineman, you could do that at number 9 overall. Jeremiah Love is an excellent football player, and I think he'll probably have an excellent pro career. But if you're going to spend that draft pick on a running back, he's got to be Bijan Robinson. Like, he can't be a top 15 running back or a top 10 running back. He's got to be a top 3 back the entirety of his rookie contract. It's just hard to do that. That's a huge expectation to put on a young back taking that early in the draft. And when you do have a free agency class that has some names, you go, oh, well, there might be a dozen guys on here who would have clearly been the number one running back on this year's Chiefs team. I think either way, I think the Chiefs are going to try to go into the draft without any single obvious need that they have to draft to fill. It's just, you know, that's a tough way of doing business. But I think you're probably going to see a number of new faces in the running back room. And for me, I think my preferred path there would be that you do, and I'm not like deeply in love with Tyler Allgeier, but just to throw his name out there as one of the options.
Yeah.
If it's Allgeier and a third or fourth round running back, I would prefer that with a pass rusher or wide receiver at 9 overall than I would Jeremiah Love at number 9, and then you try to cobble together wide receiver and defensive line and free agency.
Rather than ask you who you'd hate, because there's certainly names that we all don't want, who is your dream, who are your dream candidates for offensive coordinator for the Chiefs? Now that we know that job is most likely, and by all of reporting, will be open with Matt Nagy being a free agent, who do you want to see?
I mean, look, my dream scenario is one that I don't think is probably going to happen. It's Mike McDaniel. Now that he is available, I just think he has done some really fascinating things offensively in Miami and before that, of course, as well, that earned him that head coaching job. I like him as a person. I think that he will get another head coaching job, and I'd be fine if I was a fan of a team that gave Mike McDaniel a head coaching opportunity at some point in the future. Same for Kevin Stefanski, who I just think is going to get a head coaching job as soon as he decides where he wants to go. He would also be great to add to this staff. And again, I don't think that's realistic. The Cliff Kingsbury of it all is the most interesting wrinkle at this point, because I think, and I am speculating, I'm working with no further info than you guys have from talking to Nate Taylor, but I think that the familiar path has always felt like the most likely one. If that's Mike Kafka, if that's Eric Bieniemy, it's guys who have been in this staff before, have worked with Mahomes before, and most importantly, have worked for Andy Reid before. It is still Andy Reid's offense. The Cliff Kingsbury angle is just fascinating, because it seems like if there was a time for Mahomes to really vouch for somebody and to say, hey, I know the inclination here is to reunite with familiar faces, but I, Patrick Mahomes, if this is true, really believe that Cliff Kingsbury is going to add something to this offense where he can marry a little bit of some freshness into a pre-existing Andy Reid system that has been built over decades. I am intrigued by that. I don't think Cliff Kingsbury would be my number one overall offensive coordinator choice if I was starting a brand new team right now. But the specifics of how the Chiefs are structured, it has kind of felt like a 2-3-man race with Kafka, Bieniemy, and Kingsbury. I'll be very curious to see if they interview Nathan Shielhouse, a guy who would also be on a list for me of like, I'd like to see what he could do trying to, again, marry some of those McVay ideas into a Reid system. But I truly do not know how interested Andy Reid and the Chiefs are in like a real outsider versus somebody like Kaf or Bieniemy, who would at least bring some new outside ideas because they haven't been here the last several years.
Yeah, I guess I fight with this notion. I've heard some people be like, no, I want new ideas, fresh ideas, talking about Cliff as in he's been in this system. Cliff has no connection to the Andy Reid tree,
just Mahomes,
the Andy Reid system. Yeah, the only person he's connected to is Patrick Mahomes. I would view that as a completely outside hire with no one connected to Reid, which is rare. Even Spags, right? We think, well, Spags wasn't on his staff. Him and Spags were on a staff together in Philly. They go way the hell back. Maybe he wasn't in the same role, but like everybody Andy brings in is somebody he's known for a billion years or coached with in Green Bay or some other stuff. And so like Cliff would be
played for him at some point
or played for him.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Pinkston. I feel like Cliff Kingsbury would be a completely outside hire. I don't know why people are associating with that's more of the same of like bringing in Kafka or Bieniemy.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think that the canary in the coal mine, that might be the wrong turn of phrase in this case, but I don't think there's a gas leak. But I think that the red flag for some people might be that Kingsbury also leans into the RPOs very heavily. And I understand that there is overlapping, and that's going to be true for almost every offense in the NFL. And you might say, oh, great. Well, so the way they're going to fix this is by bringing in an outside voice who also loves to rely on the RPO and also loves a shotgun
run. Hates to run.
So, yeah, it's still going to be Andy Reid's offense, and it's still Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback. Like, I don't think that we are going to see I'll say with confidence, we're not going to see a massive offensive overhaul where Andy Reid steps back into a CEO role and just right. hands the keys of the entire offense to Mike McDaniel. Like, that's not realistic. So I do think that Kingsbury deserves to be thought of as a rare outside candidate in the way that you're setting up there, Cody. And then also there will be some overlap. Again, the RPO games and Andy will take stuff from other things schematically from throughout football history. There are some air raids sprinkled into the DNA of this Chiefs offense here and there. And obviously they took things that worked at Texas Tech for Mahomes, not to change Andy Reid's offense entirely, but to maximize on Mahomes, especially early on. Well, now we are several iterations of the offense. We are many years of evolution in the NFL into what this team has been. And I would be happy with the Kingsbury hire. Even though I think again, like, the McDaniel dream scenario is probably the most fun. I think Kingsbury as a realistic one would still be pretty exciting. And also, I will say, I like Mike Kafka. I think that he would make a lot of sense, and it seemed like that he had good relationships when he was here. Obviously, we've talked about Eric Bieniemy a ton over the years. You want to say that, hey, he brings a attention to detail and an intensity that this team has been lacking? I would probably agree with you there. But I do think that having somebody who's done more away from the Andy Reid tree would just be a more interesting marriage to see what the offense would look like in 2026.
I will say whoever the OC is, if the offense improves at all, everybody's going to think that OC is the biggest genius on earth in Kansas City. They're going to think that was the biggest issue for the offense sucking, because everybody blames it on Matt Nagy, not what you were saying, which is it's still going to fundamentally be Andy Reid's offense.
Yes, and look, that's the thing with Andy Reid here. The credit is owed to him, and the blame goes to him.
Yes.
He talks about having 51% of the vote. He's comfortable with that because he's one of the greatest coaches in NFL history, one of the greatest offensive minds. And look, I'm not arguing that the offense has looked genius these last couple of years, this last year in particular. But when he says, I've got 51% of the vote, that's a double-edged sword, and I think in a positive way. It's reminding mm-hmm. everybody he's in charge, but also if you want to point the finger at somebody, hey, point it at me, don't point it at the assistant, don't point it at the players and all of that. Like, I think that's a very quintessential Andy Reid thing. And I'll say on that point, Gold, we heard people talking about Eric Bieniemy as if he was the problem before he ended up leaving. And now Eric Bieniemy is the solution, the secret ingredient, the straw that stirred the drink. And so I think there's just, we're having a real kind of like ex-girlfriend problem where it's just like, oh, I just can't stand her. I just can't wait to get away from her. And a few years later, like, I'm lonely. I miss what she brought to my life. I think a marriage with Kingsbury would be the most interesting one. But if you want to date your ex, you know, I understand. I do think that Bieniemy got too much blame. And then when the offense sputtered, the memory of Bieniemy got too much credit. Ultimately, credit and blame, it goes to Andy Reid at the top. And I think that's very clearly how this team is structured. And it's worked out pretty well. I know this year did not go that well. It's worked out pretty well. Although I do think it is time for that to evolve, not change the org chart, but to bring in a little bit of freshness. But again, to your point, whoever it is at the OC, if the offense is much better next year, I'm probably going to start by giving credit to Andy Reid.
It's unrelated, Briscoe, but before you get out of here, the way you were describing relationships made me think of you. You were on Fesco and Dusty the other day, and I got to say, I didn't like it when you said the word lover. That's something about like the way you
context?
Said that made me
in
uncomfortable.
What context?
In describing his now wife.
Oh,
he said from
his
friends
lover.
To lovers, and I didn't like the way he said lovers.
Look, I have to wax poetic when I'm given the opportunity, and if someone accused me of being a Cody and Gold lover, I'd have to plead guilty.
Briscoe, appreciate it, man. Enjoy a full weekend of wild card football. Real quick, I guess, who do you have winning, Bills or Jags?
I kind of like the Jags. Here's my thing. I think Bills Jags is my Super Bowl pick out of the AFC, whoever wins that game. I don't feel great about that, but I don't feel great about anything in these playoffs.
Yeah, I think Ross Tucker said the same thing about that being kind of the Super Bowl, or the winner of that game goes to the Super Bowl as well. Briscoe, appreciate it, man.
Jags Bears Super Bowl. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. That would be electric. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Josh Briscoe, Chiefs pre and post game host for the Chiefs Radio Network, joins us, of course, during the football season here on 96.5.
I wish we had the cut of Briscoe saying that, but I wasn't able to find it.
I don't know. That's okay. They might not have cut it. It might have just stood out to me individually and not the other way around. Before we get to the trash of the day, or maybe it can be included in the trash of the day, the text line is now asking, it's been a while since we put Drew on camera. For those who don't know, he lost a bet with us, and he is wearing a, I don't know, circa early 2000s Hooters uniform that says Hooters Kansas City on it. And as a punishment, he has to wear it for the entire show today. So if you want to subscribe to us over on YouTube at The Fan 96.5 or on Twitch at 96.5 The Fan, you can get Drew in that uniform.
So I
viewer texted, discretion is definitely advised.
Please can't gamble responsibly
like that. Well, that's a drop from the other day.
I texted my group chat of my brother, sister, mom, and dad, and my mom just goes, "Oh my,
oh my." This is what she's like. I helped someone you said, Drew, get to college
is it
for that.
Cold in the studio or what?
I will say there is a little bit more of a breeze than normal.
Can you step back from the camera for a minute so people can get the full view?
Oh my goodness.
For those who are just now,
if you're enjoying your lunch break, I'm sure this is exactly what you want to see. Exactly what you want to see.
Maybe this is making you think you should get wings.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
He's paying off the bet. So we got to give him that.
I'm glad he's paying off the bet. Again, it was because Cincinnati did not make the playoffs. Would have enjoyed it a bit more if the Chiefs were in the playoffs, but the bet was just whether or not Cincinnati.
Yeah, you guys are home eating pork sausage like my grandpa used to say with the rest of us.
What?
My grandpa used to say, if you miss the playoffs, you're at home eating pork sausage. What? I don't know.
That was specifically his saying.
That's what my grandpa used to say.
Why pork sausage?
No clue.
Interesting.
But that's where the Chiefs are, right there with the Bengals and the Browns and the Raiders and everybody else.
From the 816 Today Show, ruin me from the live broadcast of this show.
Don't worry, we'll be back to normal on Monday.
Someone says, makes me really glad. Here's what I love about this text. There's a couple things. One is because they double dip. They said, makes me really glad Alex and Gold didn't have to wear that. Well, that's one. That's the same person.
Yeah, it's Cody and Gold. Tap.
Cody, this is Alex.
It's like when Shaq said Pascal and Siakam in the same sentence.
Probably just a typo. Just
no, that's happened a lot. People get one of us have the first name on the show. One of us has the last name on the show.
They say, are you Cody Gold? Like, that's a difference. I'm half of those people.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
Someone said Drew shouldn't discuss books.
Well, that was the other. I'm glad somebody else said it. I mean, you can't. Today, you cannot be saying, well, we're both sitting at home with pork sausage. You can't be mentioning sausage today. I agree, actually.
And wearing short shorts.
Yeah, anyway, this one has to do with food, I will say.
Oh, nice.
The trash of the day does.
Perfect.
We go to Virginia. This is actually from a show on TLC. All right, season 7 of a show, I guess it's called My Strange Addiction. Okay?
Haven't watched it.
And so this one was about somebody that has an eating issue because she blends her food and then snorts it through a straw.
All of her food?
All of it. Quote, her name's Catherine.
No.
There's photos to go with it.
Is she single?
I don't know. My relationship with food was very normal up until the point where I was in community college. It started, honestly, with a dare to try snorting a flavored fruit drink. She continued, I got a head rush, but it was actually fruitier than if it was to have that through my mouth, and it was phenomenal. Since then, I have been having my entire diet nasally for about 5 years. She sniffs blended omelets with spinach and mushrooms, liquefied gross. Spinach and steak, coffee, and even spicy guacamole.
Can we stop, please?
She confessed that she has an aversion to the weird textures that come with food. She claims that her curious culinary conduct helps her avoid overeating and choking, declaring that it has really no drawbacks.
She said she's asking restaurants to blend up her food.
She's gone on several dates.
No way.
Well,
no.
She does have a boyfriend.
I bet she hasn't
Cody.
Gone on several second dates. She has a boyfriend?
Uh-huh.
Nah, man, I can't.
He presented her a bouquet of flowers. She presented her problem almost immediately, told him, and said, hey, are you able to blend the food? She asked the server after she sat down. Unfortunately, we do not have a blender, the server replied. But we do have grits, tomato soup, and our in-house vegetarian sausage gravy.
She said she has a food aversion to like textures.
Yep.
I don't know, man.
You know, it might sound crazy. The fruit drink, maybe that's the case. Everything else after that is a hard pass.
If you don't,
how
like
is she not getting
textures
food still?
Why don't you
stuck?
Just blend them and drink them?
Yeah, through your mouth. Yes.
Isn't like wouldn't agree. There's no way like even
not
if you
snort through your nose. Yeah.
Even if you're like pureeing the steak, like you're telling me she's never had a piece of food get stuck in the like. In the nose or like going down through the windpipe or whatever it would be.
I don't know. This like photo of her like snorting her coffee. It's just too much, man. It's just too much. I one time as a dare when we worked at the concession stand snorted a pixie stick and I wished for death.
Ugh.
That was probably intense.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of sugar all the right away. This lady snorted one fruit drink and thought, well, this is a lifestyle now, apparently.
She has said she has cut back since filming the episode on TLC. I'm doing my best to stop entirely, but it's taking time as I handle some inner work, she said.
Yeah, with the therapist, I hope you were seeing.
It's an addiction. Yeah,
you know what? I will say more power to her for trying to.
Do you think this is the last straw for her?
Okay.
Oh, God. I hope so.
I'm glad that I wasn't the one that's causing people to be frustrated even more. That trash of the day was so bad, people are...
You guys choose.
Sick.
We can keep talking about snorting food, or we can talk about Drew in his Hooters outfit.
I'd rather talk about the Hooters outfit. I can't. I was going to take a drink of the water, of my water, but I don't know if I can do that for another minute or two.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the trash of the day, guys. You're welcome.
Someone says, at least it wasn't the story of a lady eating her late husband's ashes. What was that story?
What?
No. Oh, what?
Well, it's a good lunch hour coming up here on Cody and Gold. I did not see that story. I did not.
It says she's addicted to it. Yeah, I see it. That was
She's there's an episode where she's addicted to eating ashes.
It's the same show. It's the same show.
Well, it is called Strange Addictions. I mean,
it's from 6 years ago, but it's from that show. Oh man. Dude, grief will make you do some crazy things. This lady just started snorting her food. That lady, at least, grief explains part of her issue there.
No, that's worse. That's worse.
What?
Yep, that's worse.
Grief can explain what happened.
No. Eating a loved one's ashes is a million times worse than you deciding to puree and snort food.
I agree.
I mean, at least I understand how she got there.
No.
Should this be the social clip of the day? I don't think it should be.
No.
We're going to make everyone sick, man. You can't post this around dinner time. Yeah. I would leave her at the restaurant. I'm just telling you now, we would not finish the date.
No.
If they had a blender and she started to eat the steak dinner she ordered through her nose, that date is over.
I think I know where you're going with this.
I would be looking around the restaurant and thinking Ashton Kutcher is about to pop out and say, this is prank. Yeah, this is back from 2005. And I would think that she's joking.
This is Impractical Jokers. And you're like, hey, whatever the name of the guys who host that show are.
I got punked.
Yeah. I would hope that she, at least before the date, said, hey, by the way, I've got this little addiction where I don't consume my food through my mouth.
And I'd be like, well, then how do you consume your food is what I would say.
At least you get an idea for what you're about to witness.
One texter here says, they watch the show a lot. They're talking about all kinds of insane episodes. Someone thought they were a lamp. All kinds of insane. Maybe we should be watching My Strange Addiction. Maybe it's good late night television.
I'm not missing anything.
They were a lamp?
That's what he said. I don't know. Never seen the show.
I'm
like they're from Beauty and the Beast. Whatever.
I have questions. Thought they were a lamp.
Now.
Or the candle, I guess. Yeah, the candlestick, not the lamp. Anyways.
Former 96.5, well, I guess 610 employee, Brad Fanning, said he saw somewhere where someone was eating sheetrock. Addicted to eating sheetrock. Wouldn't that just tear up your guts?
This show.
No playoff football. You guys want to watch an episode a week or something?
Let's just talk. That'll be the trash of the day. But every Friday, we'll just report back.
On whatever episode of My Strange Addiction we just watched.
That is the trash of the day. All right, we're way late for a break. Let's get to the Chiefs Red half hour. We'll talk about the draft already. Somebody figured out a way to do a redraft of the draft we just had, last April. We'll take a look at what that would mean for a couple of the Chiefs picks next.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Total rabbit hole of My Strange Addiction. Our friend Joe actually sent us a clip of one I've seen before where this guy is in love with his car. The exact title of the YouTube clip from TLC says, "Sex with My Car, My Strange Addiction." It says Nathaniel kisses the car, talks to it, and even engages in intimacy with it. Thinks that the car was definitely not manufactured to do, is the way the description says.
Oh, I'm glad they put that disclaimer.
He's basically dating his car.
I needed them to remind me that that's not how the car was manufactured. Thank you.
Honestly, I've seen that clip. I've seen that that section of that show. You guys should watch that.
No, dude, it's so funny. I'm never watching the show after these stories.
It's so funny. That one's so funny.
No, I do not need to watch some dude in love with his car in that way. No, I'm good. All right, let's talk a little football.
Thank you.
It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Video stream is up and running. Drew's paying off his Hooters bet today. If you're wondering why he's wearing a Hooters crop top,
I'll put it on. I'll go on camera again here in a little while.
That is why. But we know we're going to have 100 plus days to talk about the NFL draft. And it's more interesting than what we've had in the last couple of years because the Chiefs are picking 9th overall. And we'll have some fun with mock drafts as we get closer. And every week or so, we'll be doing those like we have in the past. But we're starting a little bit earlier. Somebody went back already and did a redraft of last year's draft. Now, the regular season just ended, and now we already have a redraft of the 2025 NFL draft. This is from Bleacher Report. We all know the Chiefs drafted Josh Simmons in the first round. The redraft, if you're just wondering real quick, on the number one overall pick in the redraft, they have the Tennessee Titans taking Jackson Dart.
I'm not totally sure they'd switch the pick. Do you think they would?
No.
I think they'd still take Cam Ward. I don't know.
I would stick
with
that.
I just don't think there's been enough evidence of either, and Jackson Dart's had to deal with like the fear of like constantly living in a concussive state. I still think they'd take Cam Ward. Drew, I'm just curious now. Do you think they'd still take Cam Ward, or you think they'd take Jackson Dart?
Yeah, I think they would still take... I think I would still take Cam Ward.
The playmaking ability, yeah, Jackson Dart was really, really impressive in that. Just the natural playmaking ability. But
he'd go higher.
Yeah, but... The redraft had Cam Ward falling to 2. So you only went back and have the Browns taking Cam Ward in the redraft. 3.
The Browns probably would have liked to do that too, I guess.
The biggest mover is in this redraft is at 3. Bleacher Report has the Giants staying there and taking Tyler Shuck, the quarterback for the Saints. So now it looks like he's going to be their starting quarterback next year. I think they pretty much already came out and said he will start for them. He'll get one more year to show that he's that guy. And then if not, they'll have to pivot. But he's already 26 years old, but he moved way up. And then I'm not going to go through every single pick, but those were the notable ones. Then you go all the way down and you see where would the Chiefs have selected some of their players? And would there be anybody else that would have jumped up and been all of a sudden in the top 20 or in the first round? And Bleacher Report went ahead and has Josh Simmons going 25 in the redraft to the Houston Texans. So he would have gone earlier in the draft.
Yeah, not way earlier because that's what I find interesting. For a guy who at the time still looked like a future Pro Bowl left tackle, you would think he'd be way higher on this list. Way, way, way higher. And I was trying to ask myself, like, if pick 31 came back around again and all of the same players were available again, so anybody who got picked 32 and after was available, would the Chiefs still make the same selection considering the weirdo year they had with Simmons? He's gone for half the year. He then got injured in the season. And different injury than the type of injury they were worried about. You know, certainly like the leg injuries and the stuff that were in there. I think because of where they are on the offensive line, they'd still take him. But I think it would come with greater, I don't know, maybe come with the same amount of questions that they have now. Different injury stuff, different personal stuff instead. But they were willing to take the chance on a guy who had question marks anyway and certainly were getting the payoff. I still think the biggest surprise was at number 20, they had a different Chief going in the first round. So a year after this, and for a player that I don't think the Chiefs valued at the level even this gentleman writing for Bleacher Report does. In this redraft, they had Noah Williams going 20th overall.
He's been on the field. He looked really good.
Taken by Denver, by the way, with the 20th overall pick, saying that John A. Brown had a similar rookie experience, but that they thought Noah Williams was actually the better player who could contribute more quickly, at least based on that. Do we think Noah Williams is a first-round talent?
I don't think he would have... I don't believe that in a redraft he would go 20th. I think he could be a late first-rounder, early second-rounder in a redraft. When he was on the field, you saw why fans should be excited about
him.
Why
didn't he play more, though?
Well, that goes back to the disconnect that we have brought up that has to get fixed, I think, this offseason, which is there's a little bit of a disconnect, front office, what they're drafting, what they're looking for, and the coaching staff. And I know Steve Spagnuolo made a comment, a week or two ago, saying that one of the things about not being in the playoffs, that like they're going to have more time as a staff than ever before to actually know more about these players. Now, you can say that that's a problem to begin with, but that some of these guys, they didn't have as much time to do research on as a coaching staff because they were playing till middle of February. And so hopefully that is part of the solution here. But then once they draft a player, you know, next year they're going to be forced to play these young guys anyway. Like they're not going to have much of a choice. There's going to be too many new guys on the roster and younger guys on the roster that they're not going to be able to just side with the vet all the time. So yeah, Nolan Williams should have played more football in 2025 for the Chiefs. There's no question about that.
And like in retrospect, it still doesn't make much sense because he was going to allow you to use Trent McDuffie in the nickel more. And I just don't, like, at some point, and I understand you're the coach and I'm the front office, but like, what are you seeing that we're not? Like on these practice fields, and I'm sure that they have these meetings, but like when he plays football, we see good football all the time. So like, where is the disconnect? What is it that makes you think that if you just made this guy play more, he would improve exponentially as the season went on? And I still think that part of what happened this season, because they played rookies even less this season than normal, Gold. They reined it in even further than typical. Like Simmons was the only one they were willing to play regularly. And so even more than normal, it seems like they had some reservation. And I am convinced it's because the season was slipping away and they kept losing these close games and they kept hovering below and around 500. And they were like, well, we can't certainly risk this guy will be better in 5 weeks because we got games to play with. And instead we need every game. And the only one to win every game is to play Mike Edwards and play these other vets. And you're like, the better player is Nolan Williams. I don't think he'd be a first round pick. I'd be a little surprised.
Elsewhere in the redraft, just was kind of curious to see if they have Nolan Williams going higher, if they have Josh Simmons going higher in the redraft. What about at pick 31? They have the Chiefs taking one of the Tennessee Titans wide receivers.
Be careful. I don't want you get in trouble with Tennessee.
Yeah, we've already had that before. Chimere, I think it's DK is how you pronounce it.
He's a pro bowler this year, all-purpose
yards. He had 1,000 yards, I think, all-purpose. He was a nice special teams player. On that team was one of the better receivers. Had a nice rookie year. I don't know long-term what he's going to be, but yeah, he's a pro bowler and had a nice 2025 season. Was a fourth rounder. So they got great value on him, and we'll see what his career ends up looking like.
I hate that pick. I don't know. 48 catches, 423 yards, and 4 touchdowns. I understand he brought all the other special team stuff, but I'm signing up for that in the first round? That's what they got out of Worthy, and it's like, I don't know, in a redraft.
Yeah. So that was just how they did it. If you're just wanting other spots that were kind of interesting, the guy that we brought up a lot during the draft process last year, and you know this was a name, he had some character problems.
He was on your list,
I wanted the Chiefs to draft James Pierce Jr. last year. And he had a great rookie year for Atlanta. In this redraft, they have him going 11th to the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. Did they have Shamar Stewart going in the first round?
Doubtful, Drew.
No, I agree.
He was not in the first round at all. Do you want to know who Cincinnati was?
Sure.
In the redraft, Shamar Stewart didn't even, very few guys fell completely out of the first round, as in like they were so bad nobody would take a shot. That was not one of them. You guys took Shamar Stewart, what pick, 13 or something?
17. Jahad Campbell. Is what they redrafted.
That would have been very nice.
I mean, I got to say, somebody on defense.
He's in Philly. I mean, that's where he's at now, but yeah.
Considering their two rookies that they took in the second and third round were dead last in the PFF grades out of all rookies, yes.
The only one that still has him taking the same, same player, I guess, different route, but they have number 19, the Bucks still getting Emeka Egbuka.
Are we sure he wouldn't go higher?
I think he would. Now, it's weird. He did not finish the season as good. He started the first month and a half looking like a rookie of the year candidate.
And then all the guys came back.
I mean, the whole team started stinking.
Yeah.
In Tampa. I mean, that whole offense.
He finished
sucked.
With 938 yards and 6 touchdowns as a rookie.
First 9 games, though.
I have a hard time imagining that would last 18.
It's because the first 9, he had 40 for 677, 6 touchdowns. The final 8. 23 catches, 261, and no touchdowns.
So slowed down.
Just the first half was awesome. The back half was not that impressive.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
I still feel good about Egbuka moving forward, for the record, but just that's why he fell off in the rookie of the year.
When you look at the redraft, you got to feel pretty good. I mean, there's still parts of, and this goes back to Brett Veach's drafting ability. I do not think Brett Veach is a bad drafter. I think Brett Veach is not an elite drafter, and especially not elite at finding elite positions of, you know, importance so far. I also think that I'll let him pick number 9 and find out if he's able to do that. And what's crazy is, like, we talk about number nine because the Chiefs haven't picked her in so long. Like, it's some just lock of the century. I don't think people realize that that 50-50 chance of getting a player right, it's 50-50 for the top 10, too. The difference is when you get it right, they're typically Pro Bowl. They're all pro. The level of talent you get when you get it right, the upper end potential is way higher. But you're still in a 50-50 shot of just totally
whiffing. It's not a guarantee, but we know how, and we'll hear from Brett Veach around the combine, and he'll be asked closer to the draft as well, how many first round grades do you have? As we all know, yes, there are 32.
It's usually like 15.
There's 32 first round picks, but on teams' boards, there's only maybe, 10 to 15 that are actually first rounders in terms of grades. Well, if you're picking ninth, you're guaranteed to at least get one of the guys that you are, you know, viewing as a true first round grade. That's the difference. At pick 32, those are not first round grade players. At pick nine, no matter who it is, it at least is somebody that you have a first round grade on.
Yes.
So that's the benefit.
Yeah. Somebody is going to be in that mix that hasn't previously been in that mix, which is, I do think is a lot different than what we're accustomed to, at least on that end.
You guys see the real effective stuff that's going on in Jefferson City, or at least proposal. You guys see that? There's a Missouri senator.
This is when I sound like the oldest man on the show. I know I am the oldest person on the show, but just when after you complete this story, I'll go on my little rant and I'll sound like I'm a 87, but I just want you to prepare accordingly.
There's a Missouri senator that has proposed to make the UFL's St. Louis Battlehawks football team Missouri's official football team instead of the Chiefs. Quote, it not only removes the designation of the Kansas City Chiefs as Missouri's football team, it in place solidifies that CAW is the law by making this law and recognizing that the St. Louis Battlehawks are indeed Missouri's official football
CAW team. CAW is the law? Is that what?
Well, what's the name of this guy?
Nick Shore. I'm not surprised by the wasting of time. How about that? How about that? Oh, man. They're not going to be the official football team of Missouri anymore, guys. Okay. Or at least they don't want it to be. The Battlehawks.
They've taken their talents to the UFL.
That's right.
I don't want to, like you shouldn't pocket watch or tell everybody, like, how to do their job or any of this stuff.
Think this is important business taking place in Jefferson City?
I'm just telling you right now.
It shouldn't be at the top of the list?
Fill a pothole! Empty a meter!
Are there a lot of potholes on the Missouri side?
Try to craft up tons! Try to craft some piece of actual legislation! You waste the time that I should be able to impeach you. If you waste my time and everyone's time, how long did it take you to craft this? Should you spend a half an hour? 45 minutes?
If you're going
to
do this,
spend some time with your kids. I don't even care. Do something productive with your life. Then waste time on nonsense like this. We should be allowed to financially punish people who work in state houses or in politics who do stuff like this. You're wasting my time and everyone's time and your time, and we shouldn't just stop it. Do something productive with this, this position you
hold.
That's
just dumb and a waste of time. And honestly, if you're going to make it a team, an official team of Missouri, if that's really what you wanted to do, why wouldn't you just make it the Missouri Tiger?
Agreed.
Tigers, 100%.
Because this guy probably is a St. Louis rep.
Well, just be like the state.
So he's got to get as close to St. Louis
as believe,
possible.
I believe that's the side of the state he represents, yes.
100%. Just be like the state of Alabama. They don't have a pro football team. I mean, they do technically in Birmingham, in the Birmingham Stallions or whoever it is. But
Missouri's not Alabama now. Exactly. And so. Yeah,
true.
Just what a waste of time. This is just somebody that wants to waste time and get his name discussed. That's all this is.
Again,
congratulations. Here we are. We're talking about it.
They should have to pay a $10,000 fine that goes to charity or whatever. Anytime, because remember, I remember you brought up one in college football where he's going to sue the college football playoff because they didn't let Notre Dame in. It's always something like that.
Well, there was a representative last year for Ohio that wanted to ban the flag planting. Mm-hmm. There was also, I think, a representative in Ohio that wanted to ban, the M from all, cross out the M in all, official documents because of Michigan.
Stuff. Legitimately, we do very little politics in this show because we're not supposed to. So take any of your feelings about...
Oh, yeah, this has nothing to do with that.
Which side of the political aisle are you on? If somebody stands up when we could be discussing actual things that help actual people in a legislative house, and they're standing there and be like, I'd like to ban IMS. Sir, that'd be $1,000 to a charity of your choice. I'll let you talk for a few seconds, dumbass. But... when that's done, $1,000 to a charity of choice every time you waste this council's time.
It sounds like you're very passionate about this stuff.
I hate it. I hate it, Drew. There's like real people who knew real things. This guy chose to get elected for this. He got to stand up there and talk about banning M's.
But again, yes, there is a Missouri senator that is wanting to remove the Chiefs as the official football team of Missouri and add in the UFL's Battlehawks.
Who would win a game, the Missouri Tigers or the St. Louis Battlehawks?
Battlehawks, I assume, right?
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
I think we're getting closer to that. I think Missouri football.
You think it'd be Missouri football? Yeah. Battlehawks roster. You think there's any other former?
I mean, there's probably some solid players on that team, but I mean,
they don't even list their roster right now.
Battlehawks do draw a good crowd. Good for them. You know, it's not even against them. This is more about just why are we doing it. It's nothing against them. But yeah.
Kind of got
unnecessary.
Seahawks or Lions vibe to them. Why can I not see your roster?
Maybe they don't have them formulated quite yet until the, I don't know when the season starts, but they probably wait till the college season starts. Like, I mean, Carson Beck,
their quarterback was Max Dugan. He tore up Missouri when he was in. Yeah.
TCU quarterback.
Yeah, he tore up all kinds of colleges when he was in school. So I don't hate their quarterback play for what it's worth. Mm. Their leading running back was Jacob Sailors.
We're not going to know anybody.
Drew Might.
The only person we know on the list that I saw, Rodrigo Blankenship, the former NFL kicker.
Hold on. I remember their leading wide receiver, Hakeem Butler.
All right.
You know, I remember UNC, right? Isn't that where he went?
I don't know if that's I don't know if that's where Hakeem Butler went, but I recognize the name Hakeem Butler. Sailors, I don't recognize.
Anyway, there you go.
He was on an NFL roster.
The real important stuff is going on. Mm-hmm. With legislators.
Someone said Drew, all the potholes are in Missouri. Road care in Missouri is not great. We can have a real border war and people hate Missouri and people hate Kansas and either side of state, and certainly stadium stuff's brought all that stuff out.
Yeah.
As a lifelong Missouri resident, if we are trying to, like, if you want to say like Kansas drivers are worse, we'll debate Missouri or Kansas drivers being worse. I'll just tell you right now, and I've decided it's Kansas because I found out you don't even take real driver's tests in Kansas. They just go around the block and don't make them do anything. Don't even have to parallel park when Alex is taking the test. It's crazy. But potholes.
For the sake of time, I will not argue with
Missouri's roads are horrible compared to Kansas. They're worse at snow removal, road care, like just roads in general, and the state of the drivability of the roads is not in comparison. Missouri's is worse. Like there's not. I don't think that one's up for debate. I'll listen to other debates.
Yeah, man, got to get your car realigned every single time when you drive down there. That's definitely true.
So, it's pretty bad. Why is Kansas better at snow removal? They're in the same metro. We have this, like, figured out by now. We have routes.
They have their priorities straight. As you were talking...
Do they? What are we getting for this non-pothole?
I mean, you were just talking about how Missouri is too occupied making the Battlehawks their football team.
Yeah, I'm sure no one in Kansas ever made a grandstand of nonsense in a state house.
Oh, if somebody in Kansas would have done the same thing, we'd be saying the exact same thing. It's just a waste of time. It's absolutely absurd.
And this is always Missouri people hate Kansas more than Kansas people hate Missouri. This is the same as the Missouri and Kansas fans. I think they hate each other equally, is my stance on that. Except for Kansas State and KU. I think that one may be the schools. That one might be slightly different. We've gotten way off track now. You know, I don't feel that bad about it. It's a Friday. Drew's in a Hooters outfit.
He's so elated. Ain't you from the Lou? Ain't you from Missouri?
Drew, how is that? Should we let him off at like 1 or something? I kind of feel
bad. You want to give Drew the day off?
Hold on. Not the itchy. Day. Can he just take the outfit off?
It's starting to get
like
itchy?
Yeah. Start, like,
we have fan club starting at 1.
A little bit, actually, and I can't reach the
Taylor Burr from Fox 4 is coming in for the first time. Should her first impression of the station not be Drew in orange short shorts?
Yeah, let's...
And instead, can we just agree, Gold, that 3 hours of that Hooters outfit and it being on Google forever is enough of a punishment for Drew? I'm feeling like 3 hours.
I don't want
like
Drew to develop a rash or something, you know?
Okay, it's not going to be a rash, I don't think. It's just
the
tag.
And there's still the HR part of it that is up for question. Like at some point early in the show, it felt like.
There's no HR issue at all.
So, 1 o'clock, can we let Drew off
all right.
the hook?
Look, if you want...
He didn't ask, in fairness. No, so like,
if you want to, we can...
At 1 o'clock, you can go change.
Okay.
The bet will be considered paid off at 1 o'clock.
He was wearing... I think under regular clothes before the show for an hour or two. So
yeah,
I think he's been uncomfortable for some time.
We're getting to the point where about 2.5 hours in, I thought that it might start to get a little, not annoying, but along those lines, and we're starting to get to that point, I think.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. We'll let you off the hook at one.
You got an hour left.
For those who want to see it, right, Subscribe to our YouTube channel at the Fan 96.5, or
yeah, when we come back with what's trending, I'll put up the three shot. The Fan.
Yeah, you'll see Drew in that out.
That is 5 inches difference.
He was texting me about that last night again. I don't know if he texted you that again, Alex, or Cody.
He not texting me.
He had a bad game too, so Bink was probably.
He was texting me again about Bane. He likes Mezenor better, actually, who is projected to be a later.
Yeah, Bane didn't have a good game, but I could go and look at. I think who was it? Miles? Somebody else was in the last couple of years. Had a bad college football playoff and they turned out to be a fine. Like, just because one game wasn't great for, like, Ruben Mann could also go out there and dominate in the national title.
And of course, this is the problem with watching one game. One game had me convinced that, you know, the Chiefs are right. 5'11" wide receivers are fine. I was ready to draft Malachi Corley, Malachi Toney last night.
Malachi Corley's been a bust in the NFL.
Malachi Toney last night.
He would be picked in the first round and that man should be in high school.
Dude, he's 18. He just turned 18.
Yeah, he's still got three more years of college.
He would
be
a first-round pick if he could come out.
We don't have a ton of time to get into it. Do you think NFL teams would draft anybody if you could pre-draft them and just know that they'd be on your roster when they were eligible?
Like, own the rights, basically?
Yeah, I think so.
And it had to be a first-round pick.
Well, then
the Chiefs could spend a first-round pick on Malachi Toney, and they know that in 3 years, Tony's on their roster. Would they only do it with quarterbacks? They definitely do it with quarterbacks.
Does it count as a first-round pick this year? Or
it counts as a first-round pick this year. So you're playing the long game.
So they theoretically could get Malachi Toney and their first round pick that they get in the same year.
Yes, but they might end up doing.
I think
the
more
thing
teams
that, like,
might do that.
Did you know how many people get wrong on quarterbacks? Like, Arch Manning would have been taken.
Quarterback would be the scariest position to do for sure.
I don't. You know,
Jeremiah Smith would get taken.
Interesting idea. I don't think that many teams would utilize it, and I think you would have to make it to where it's, you know, only for. You know, potentially only for quarterbacks. You get it. You do it once every 5 years. It would there'd be a lot of stipulations. Also, the risk involved is massive. Toney looks amazing for Miami. I don't want this to happen to him, but he could have a terrible injury and just not be the same player. Then you're stuck in 2 years.
Not just because of Miami, just because that actually happened.
Yeah. So I think, like, if Arch Manning, somebody would have done that this year or last year, I guess, for Arch Manning, somebody would have said, oh, we'll just buy his rights. That's also more complicated. You just would have done that because the Manning last name, you would have said, oh, we'll take the risk that he turns out to be something.
But it's like tanking on a year, you're just giving up a first-round pick for a future guy, and you all know, like, so what do you do about the roster? You got this quarterback here who knows a quarterback's getting drafted a year from now?
Plus that GM.
I think very few teams would actually do it.
Yeah, plus the GM that's currently on set, he doesn't have 3 years. Like, you as a GM, most GMs do not have the ability to say, all right, by the way, 3 years from now, I got our quarterback. In the meantime, bear with me. That's usually not how that works.
Look, it's never going to happen. Yeah. It's just fun to entertain, but because you have to set up all kinds of things, like, could somebody return the rights if they change their mind and get a second round pick or whatever?
Bink's texting in. We have awoken Bink. He said Bane had 4.5 sacks all regular. Bink's down on Bane.
He was texting me.
I prefer David Bailey for the record, but I'm not worried about David Bane because of last night's performance. Or David Bane. Ruben Bane. David Bailey's who I would pick, but Ruben Bane. That's where I'm at on that.
By the time we get through the combine, I think David Bailey might be the one who's picked higher. When that man runs like a 4.5 at whatever size he is,
Feels like that's the case. All right, up next, guys, we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk about a win total that's already out there for the boys in blue and more on the college football playoff, which has another semi tonight.